Kevin shifted his gaze back to the man at the blackboard. Unlike the others, he was definitely not a student. He looked to be in his late 30s or early 40s. He was dark-skinned, either Persian or Latino, with a sharp, triangular face and pronounced cheekbones. He wore thick glasses with obtrusive plastic frames, and his teeth were horrible. They jutted out from between his lips, and it was impossible to tell if he was smiling or snarling. His clothes were almost as bad as his teeth. His shirt was two sizes too small, and his jeans were stained and frayed at the ankles, as if they had gone unwashed for a long, long time. "Kevin," Martinez said, "this is Mickey Rosa. He used to teach here back in prehistoric times." Mickey nodded as his audience laughed, his hair flopping over too much glistening forehead. Kevin watched him with a new respect. He'd seen the name before. Two of the card-counting books had mentioned the former math prodigy, one of the youngest MIT graduates in history, matriculating at the age of 16 as a master of the sport. But the man was at least 15 years older than Martinez and Fisher. What was he doing in a room full of college kids? "I still teach here," Mickey said, leaning back against the blackboard. Bright blue chalk was getting all over his shirt, but nobody said anything. It was obvious in the way they looked at him that his audience revered him. "But now I teach for profit, for me and for my students." He waved his hands at the kid seated in front of him. "Kevin, this is the MIT blackjack team. It's been around in one form or another for almost 2 decades. Recently, we've taken things to a whole new level, and we want to invite you to come aboard." Kevin opened his mouth. He couldn't think of anything to say. He looked at Martinez and Fisher. Martinez was smiling. Fisher was busy making eyes at Kiana Lam. "Why me?" Kevin finally managed. "Because you're smart," Mickey said. "You've got a good work ethic. You're good with numbers. And you've got the look." Kevin pawed the floor, pensive. Obviously, Martinez and Fisher had been cooking this up for some time. They had been feeding Mickey Rosa information about him, sizing him up for their team. The trip to Atlantic City was a test of sorts, and he had passed. "What do you mean, the look?" Mickey waved his hands again, tabling the question for later. "Kevin, we count cards. Are you familiar with the practice?" Kevin nodded. "I've done a bit of reading on the subject." "Good, good. So you must have heard of the high-low method of counting, right?" Kevin nodded again. His memory wasn't photographic like some other MIT kids he knew, but he retained things fairly well. He knew that the high-low method dated back to 1962 and the publication of Edward Thorpe's groundbreaking bestseller, Beat the Dealer. In the book, Thorpe outlined a simple counting method that allowed players to keep rough track of the number of high cards left in an unplayed shoe. Instead of counting individual cards, players simply kept track of a single number, the running count. This number was added to every time a low card came out of the deck and subtracted from every time a high card hit the table. The more positive the running count, the more high cards were left in the deck, giving the player an advantage and inciting him to raise his bet. When the running count went negative, the player lowered his bet, expecting to lose more hands. Depending on the initial stake and the number of hands played, a player could reap a positive advantage with very little effort.